The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program today Andrew Welsh Huggins. He's got a new book out in his new series. It's called The Delivery. He joins us on the telephone in the Columbus area. Welcome back to the show, Andrew.
Thanks, Vic. Great to be with you as always.
You know, I was really excited about this, Andrew, because I loved the first book so much. And you have fulfilled my expectations and more with the second book. And you have not fallen into the sophomore slump. This is a real page-turner. I absolutely loved it. Let's tell our listeners what this series is about. Let's start off with the first book.
Yeah, so the mailman introduces this new character of mine. His name is Mercury Carter. He's a freelance mailman. This is not really a job that exists in real life, but that's why we call it fiction. People hire him to deliver stuff they don't want going through the mail system. It's nothing illegal. It can be as simple as like an old family recipe or a piece of information they just want to keep secure. Carter's whole shtick is he just wants to make his deliveries and go home. He's never missed a delivery, though, and he'll do almost anything to keep that streak alive. So in The Mailman, he's making a delivery, what he thinks is just a regular delivery to a lawyer in Indianapolis. He gets to her house. He realizes there's a home invasion underway, and he has to step in and save the day. Now, he does this to support his delivery. He's sort of a reluctant do-gooder, but he is always a do-gooder is the key. He always does the right thing, even if it's just to make sure his delivery gets done.
Describe his physical presence.
Yeah, so when I created this character, you know, I've been a big fan of a lot of action books, and certainly was influenced by Lee Child's Jack Reacher series, but I wanted the opposite for Carter. So Carter is a, he's a trim guy. He's 5'10". He wears glasses. He often wears a Rochester Red Wings ball cap because he's a huge baseball fan. So essentially, I would say he is a very normal-looking guy, a little bit slight. The key here is unassuming. He is a former federal agent. Part of his backstory is he worked for the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, which a lot of people may not be familiar with that. It's actually the oldest federal law enforcement agency going back to the 18th century, and it's very much the equivalent of the FBI or the DEA or the ATF. So as part of being a former USPIS inspector, he had a lot of training. He developed certain skills, combat skills, and though you wouldn't expect that he's able to hold his own in a fight, he very much is.
Tell us about his tool vest.
Yeah, so he walks around with a utility vest, as I call it, which has a number of pockets on either side, and this is kind of his like trademark thing that he wears. That, and he's almost always in cargo shorts unless it's absolutely freezing. And in his utility vest, he has a number of items that you and I might not have. I mean, he does say have a little miniature flashlight. But he also keeps in there usually a box cutter, a can of mace, and his very trusty and often necessary 24-inch heavy-duty zip ties, which he likes to pull out or does pull out at the conclusion of a fight where he needs to subdue someone for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I've been carrying around zip ties and a box cutter ever since I read this series, and they come in really handy.
Truer words.
Andrew Welsh Huggins joins us. The new one is The Delivery. It's just coming out. And that first book, it starts off in Indianapolis, but he's kind of all over the place. In this one, why did you decide to set a lot of it in Rhode Island?
Yeah, so You know, I also write a Private Eye series, and that is set almost exclusively in Columbus and Central Ohio. And that's a very conscious decision because, you know, that's where I live, and I really want to make this city, which I love, a character in my books. But with Carter, I really wanted to do the opposite. I did not want the series or him to be tied down geographically, other than the fact that fictionally he's from Rochester. So, you know, from a personal point of view, Providence is the city where I was born. My wife and I spent 3 years there in the 80s. We've gone back to visit friends. It's just sort of a city that has a special place in our hearts. And it also has a sort of long tradition both of crime fiction and just crime. A lot of people may not know that the inspiration for Mario Puzo's The Godfather was actually the head of the New England mob, Raymond Patriarca, who was based in Providence. So it's just such a rich city, rich area near the ocean. And I have written and published a couple short mystery stories set in Providence, but I'd always wanted to set something bigger there. So essentially that's why, as part of my goal to keep Carter moving around the country, this seemed like a great location.
And I see you did have some consultants who helped you out on this. And the very first one that you name in your acknowledgments has appeared on this program. He wrote a book about a pill mill doctor here in Ohio, Philip Isle. What kind of stuff did he help you out with?
Yeah, so that is a great book, by the way. I recommend it to anybody. He's such a great journalist. I met Phil when he was in Ohio promoting that book. And then he lives right in Providence. And, we, you know, we had stayed in touch. And he helped me very much with little geographic elements of Providence. So there's, I take the philosophy that when you're writing something like this, you really should try to get your landmarks correct. But at the same time, I think it's important not to overthink it. You know, everything should be done in the service of just creating an entertaining mystery that keeps the pages turning. But that said, I sent him the manuscript and I earmarked, I can't remember, like 10 or 12 places where I described streets, locations, neighborhoods. And I just said, hey, could you check this out? Could you see if this is accurate? And he very graciously did. So the Providence that's in this book hopefully is accurate. Thanks in part to Phil and also a friend of mine, another journalist, Bill Cole, who also lives there. And he helped me with some of the descriptions of the street where a couple that Carter helps live.
Well, I'm picturing these guys with your list driving around their cars like, okay, now that's over there and this is over here. And yeah, that's all right. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my other friend actually was gracious enough to get to go out, and he took a number of pictures that he emailed to me. And obviously, I know I could get that through Google Maps, but it was so helpful that he went out and did it personally because it gave me, I think, better perspectives.
Nice. Okay, set this up, the delivery. I don't want to do any spoilers here, so tell us how this opens up and what it's about in a way that doesn't give away anything.
Sure. So, yeah, once again, Carter's he's in town just to make a delivery. I won't give away what the delivery is, but it's on the one hand, it's a kind of special thing. But on the other hand, it's in some ways it's kind of innocuous. But as he's driving through town, there's a terrible rainstorm and he comes across a woman who's been in an accident. Her car has slammed into a utility pole. She's clearly in trouble. Like might not even survive the crash. So, you know, he does the right thing. He pulls over, wants to make sure she's okay, gets up to her car. He's beginning to help her when behind him, a pair of headlights appear and he assumes this is, hopefully a first responder. In fact, a tough looking guy gets out of this van, approaches Carter with a gun and orders him to get away from the woman. Well, that doesn't sit well with Carter, and so a little bit of fisticuffs ensue. Carter drives the guy away. He saves the woman right before the car explodes from a fire that was started by the crash. Fast forward a little bit, he's recovering in a hotel the next day. He's going through his our favorite utility vest, and he realizes that the woman, in her sort of frantic, almost unconscious, semi-conscious struggle as he's trying to help her, had slipped an envelope into his pocket. When he pulls the envelope out, he finds a business card in there. When he turns it over, there's a handwritten phone number on there and one word, help. So that launches the new adventure, not giving a whole lot away. This leads him to a family whose adult daughter who is drug addicted and probably a trafficking victim. She has disappeared. They honestly thought she was dead. Now there's information that she might be alive. Carter really wants nothing to do with it, the reason he's in town. But this is where I played a little bit with the conceit of the series. There's a ring involved, and the mother of this woman has this stroke of genius, and she hires Carter to deliver this ring to the missing woman. And Carter's kind of stuck because now he's been hired to do what he does, make a delivery, and the only catch is he has to find the woman first. But because that's what he does, he sets out, and that sort of sets the entire story in motion. In a huge surprise to readers, that delivery does not go as anticipated, and lots of obstacles crop up along the way.
Yeah, I love it. And he's actually engaged in this very innocuous baseball-related delivery as the story opens, and then he gets shifted into this one involving the ring. And the thug who shows up with the gun, this guy is Donnie, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Donnie. Okay, so you've got different levels of thugs and villains in here. And Donnie, he's like the really bad villain. He's the horrible villain. But then you've got other villains where we're kind of sympathetic, at least to one of them. And one of them is this guy that opened up this business called Second Act Staffing. This guy, he's got a situation in his life where he's trying to do something good.
Donnie is, we'll say, very much at the street crime level. He's orchestrating a series of crimes involving women who are being trafficked and robberies. And these are the kinds of things that you read every day if you still get a newspaper or you look online, you watch the local news, the very much street crime level. But Randy that you're referring to, he has a personal situation, a tragic situation, and he needs to make a lot of money to deal with this situation. And he undertakes this fairly massive fraud scheme. And one of the things I wanted to play with was this kind of fraud scheme actually is going to harm so many more people than a sort of street-level thug. But it's the kind of thing that sometimes we don't think about, or it's so invisible because it involves corporations and hospitals and insurance companies. It's the kind of thing that we don't really think about almost as a crime, but yet it has far, far more far-reaching impacts on people. So I was trying to play with both of those things. Carter is dealing with some regular old grade A street thugs, but he's also dealing with a big conspiracy at a quite large level. And again, he has to deal with all of this just so he can deliver that darn ring.
Mm-hmm. I love this this crime that's happening. We read the paper every day and we see these kinds of crimes going on. How did you get the idea for this particular one?
There's two things going on here. There's the street level crime where, trafficking victims are being used to rob their Johns. So there was actually a case in the Columbus area that I had read about that inspired that. Without giving a whole lot away, the other much bigger crime involves the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just in the course of all the different reading I do and the news outlets I peruse, I came across this this problem. And it turns out that I hope listeners will pay attention to this. It turns out that cybersecurity in healthcare systems, and especially hospitals, is kind of notoriously weak.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been multiple attempts to deal with this. Part of the problem is that there's so many users involved in a healthcare system. There's third parties coming in and doing this and that. But anyway, it's kind of a situation that's ripe for exploitation. So I did a lot of research on that for several months, you know, as I was writing the book. And it, you know, I don't know anybody personally that has been a victim of this, but I certainly, as I was starting to read news accounts and see the scope of this, I was like really floored by how widespread and dangerous this kind of fraud is.
It's fairly ominous. My guest is Andrew Welsh Huggins. The new book, the second book in this new series featuring Mercury Carter, is The Delivery. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, sharing community voices through inspired storytelling. There's also a story that threads through both of these books, and we know that the mysterious events which led up to Mercury's father's tragic murder, we know eventually in one of these books that you're going to tackle that. What's your plan?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Mercury Carter's father was a real postman, and he was murdered on the job by a gang member, this involved the illegal shipment of drugs through the mail. And it turns out, this is not really a spoiler, it turns out that the person, in fact, who orchestrated this was Carter's father's very own manager in the postal office who was involved in this. And that guy, after ordering a hit on Carter that he barely survived, that guy flees. So, yeah, Carter is looking for him kind of on his own, even as the federal agencies, of course, are trying to find him. So we certainly get into that in the second book. And I will say I'm deep into the third book, which continues the postal title theme, Address Unknown. we tackle that arc head on, and I think we're going to bring it to a conclusion one way or the other.
Really?
I like the idea of Carter making this search, but I don't want it necessarily to totally define the series. So I think I found a pretty reasonable way to deal with it. And then, you know, obviously many hopes to continue the series on after this third book.
Well, that's exciting. I wasn't expecting you to address that so quickly. That's really, I can't wait to read the third book now.
In this particular book, Carter is hired to make a delivery, but things go wrong when he tries to make the delivery. Can you believe it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah, I believe it. This ring that he suddenly got to deliver, his second delivery project that he needs to deal with, which takes the entire book. Let's talk about the person who owns that ring without giving away too much. She is an amazing character. We feel terrible for her. She's so damaged, yet she's so strong and she's so resilient.
This is Terry Watkins. She's a young woman who has been trafficked. She's been drug addicted. She has followed an all too unfortunate downward spiral. This is one of these cases where I knew this character was going to serve a certain function in the book, but she really took on a life of her own. And there is a sort of backstory of what she went through as a teenager. And then I introduce as part of her story, and let me just say, I mean, I'm always about agency when it comes to characters. And, you know, this woman is, Terry is a person who's had pretty much every bit of crap that life can throw at you, thrown at her. But I also wanted to give her some agency. She's not a total victim, as we'll find out. And in creating her, I also created, honestly, one of my favorite characters ever, who is not even alive in the book, but it's Terry's grandmother, who Terry became very close to her grandmother, even as Terry was sort of becoming estranged from her parents as they were, you know, knocking heads, as parents and children do. And that helped me sort of create what I think is a pair of pretty strong women separated by an entire generation. But I think I will show that Terry's grandmother had a lot of grit, and I think we'll see that Terry inherited that grit in the end.
Wasn't her grandmother the one that showed her about crawling out of windows?
That's right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Right. I remember that. Okay, well, we also have another character where the second you introduce him at the very beginning of the story, and we have Mercury is supposed to hand this ring over to him, but we know you're just going to string this along, and this poor cop with the unpronounceable name, is it Papa Leonardos? This poor guy, we know that he's never going to ever get Mercury to call him back or show up or anything, don't we? We know that.
When I was researching this novel, this detective is actually in a Rhode Island city, the wonderful name of Pawtucket. And you can't really necessarily even call cities in Rhode Island suburbs because everything's so close together. But Pawtucket is right next to Rhode Island. And I was researching this book. One of the things I did was reach out to the Pawtucket Police Department, and it took me quite a while, partly because they didn't really believe who I was, but I ended up speaking to a police detective at the police department. And I just said, look, all I want to do is, can you tell me about the city? Can you tell me what policing is like? Can you tell me what kinds of crimes are there? And in the end, he was fantastic. And he, one of the things I learned through him, both from his surname and also just talking to him, is there's a Pawtucket is a very diverse city, and there's still a large Greek population. So I thought I really wanted to have a sort of distinctive police detective in this book as well, and so that's how I came up with Kostas Papaleonardos, or Gus, as people call him. A lot of Greek people whose name is first name is Kostas, they're often called Gus. I when you're writing a book like this and there's crimes happening and people are being shot, you know, sometimes it seems a little unrealistic if you don't involve the police somehow. So I did want to bring a detective into this. And I wanted him, on one hand, I wanted him to be at odds with Carter and like continually demanding, like, where is that ring? That's evidence. You need to bring that in. At the same time, I wanted him to understand that Carter might have information that he could use and that he might have to play along with Carter a little bit. So I sort of walked a tightrope with that. And I hope it worked out. That detective is a somewhat minor character, but he does keep popping up. And honestly, I became pretty attached to him.
Well, it's really fun. And it's a page turner. It's The Delivery by Andrew Welsh Huggins. And of course, for those of us who you already mentioned, Lee Child and Jack Reacher, and the highlight in a lot of those books is when Reacher deals with the bad guys and takes them down. And of course, Mercury has comparable talents. And these are really fun to read, these situations he gets in where these bad guys are underestimating him and the way he deals with them. It's just really fun to read.
Thanks. Yeah. I think a lot about those fight scenes, and I'm a fairly veteran brawler, meaning I was in one fight in my life in seventh grade. But I do try to take them seriously. And one thing I try to do, I am a big fan of I'm a big fan of fight scenes, but I also try to make them realistic in the sense that Carter doesn't win the day every single time, or he doesn't necessarily dominate a fight from the beginning. And so I'm always conscious of that he does tend to get the upper hand because he has these skills that people underestimate. But I do try to, you know, I try to be realistic. When you're in a fight and you get hit, it actually hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts for real, and it doesn't go away the next day. So I, you know, that's something that I do try to bring into the stories as well.
Well, I see your publicist very helpfully sent along an advanced copy of your novella. You have this long-running series with Private Eye Andy Hayes that is set in the Columbus area. And I see you have a novella called Rescue Me coming out in June. And so we'll have to have you back on the show for that, Andrew.
I'd love to talk about it. That I love the novella form. My publisher was gracious enough to let me, you know, experiment a little bit for this new one. So it's probably a third as long as a regular book, but it's got a pretty good adventure and a for better or for worse, pretty timely one.
Mm. It's an Andy Hayes mystery. How many books is it now in that series?
So that's eight in that series. I am working on a ninth book. It's bedeviling me a little bit, but you know, I'm plugging away at it.
Well, I just love this new series. And what's your ETA on book number three for Mercury?
Yeah, so I would say, given the publication routine recently, I think it's safe to say to look for that in hopefully the spring of 2027.
So in about a year.
Yeah, I would say it'll hopefully be going to my publisher in a couple months. And then, as I think listeners probably know by this point, you know, in the publishing world, you can usually count on from the day you deliver your manuscript to the publisher, it's going to be about a year before it sees the light of day.
Well, I would like to note that these books are being published by the venerable, mysterious press of Otto Penzler, the great mystery genius out of New York City. So it must be so nice for you to be affiliated with Otto and his imprint. You must just love that.
It's been pretty cool, I have to say. And, you know, the mysterious press is not standing still. Otto has been bringing on a lot of really great authors recently. I mean, he now has Charles Todd and Jonathan Ames. People know those names. And yeah, he's great, as is my editor, Louisa Cruz Smith, who's the editor of Mysterious Press. It's just super exciting.
Well, Otto knows everybody. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. And once again, the book is The Delivery by Andrew Welsh Huggins. And it's just coming out. Andrew, we'll look forward to talking to you again, hopefully in June, for this new one, this novella.
That would be great, Vic. And thanks as always. Wonderful speaking with you. And thanks for everything you do to promote books and reading and all that good stuff.
I love my job. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks for tuning in.